Well, it's a good time at the start of the year to remind ourselves what we're here for. I wonder if I ask you that question today, why are you here? What are you here for? What you would say. But we've got need to ask ourselves that question as a church. What is this church here for? What are we trying to be? Who are we? What's important to us? Where are we going? If you look on the white the sermon sheets that you would have hopefully received on your way in, you'll see we've got a few points there about things that we've been tossing up over the last couple of years. Things like we're a church that is gathering and growing and going. So we're gathering together to hear God speak to us through his word because we know how important that is. But we also gather together to praise God for the great things he's done as we've heard in that psalm and to pray to God. We're growing together in our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as we learn to trust Jesus more and more each day as we put our life in his hands. But we also grow in our unity with each other so that we become more of a church family that we're supposed to be. And we're going together with the good news of Jesus to our community and to our world. So that's what we're here. That's why we're here. That's what God has called us to do in this place. But also, if you keep looking at that white sheet, you'll see that we've decided that there are basically five key ministry areas in our church, five key things that we need to do. Top of the list, and this not necessarily in any order, but on the first one on the list is evangelism. We need to be telling people about the great gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got our public worship times. We've got how we grow together grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus. We've got all the things that help us to do that. Next, we've got admin and maintenance, and they're very important things to make sure they're done properly so that we can function together as a body. But the last one, pastoral care. Pastoral care is a very important part of our being together as a church family. How do we care for each other? How do we look after each other? How do we show God's love to each other? You might have noticed at the end of last year, I said a couple of times that in the first 6 months of this year, we're going to have a bit of a focus on pastoral care in our church. What are we doing well and how we can improve that? What are we doing badly and what do we need to pick up on? All those sorts of things. How can we improve our care for each other as God's family, as a church family here in Narrabri? And the first two sermons, this week and next week, when Daniel preaches next week, we're going to focus on this topic of care, what it is, and how we can improve. I want to start today, though, with a story of a lady in one of the previous churches I've worked in. And she was on a mission, this lady, but it was a mission to spread bitterness in the congregation. She used to spread rumours around town about me, and for a while it used to affect me until someone said to me one day, "Don't worry, everyone knows who she is, and everyone knows what you're like, and they won't believe her." She used to tell other people the things she didn't like about church. She used to complain all the time in public about what happened in church and about the decisions that were being made by the parish council. Whenever there were kids in church and they made a bit of noise, you could hear her, you could audibly hear her going and giving death looks to the parents of those kids. And it was a really hard thing to handle in church. It was obvious to me and to many others that she didn't really care about anyone else in the church. And that was really hard to deal with. To her, church was simply about having things her own way. She didn't care about anyone else. It was all about her. And it made it really hard for us to care for her. Now, I don't want to bring this up as a bad example just to have a go at this woman, because it was actually one of my biggest failings, I think, in that place. Because I simply felt like avoiding this woman. I found it really hard to care for her. And I just wanted to avoid the conflict that she brought into the situation. I wanted to focus on the good, the nice people, you know, the ones that are easy to talk to, the ones that are easy to get along with. That was so much easier for me than caring for this woman. That was a big problem in that church. She didn't care for us and we didn't care for her. Why is it important for Christians to care for each other? Is there such a thing as an uncaring Christian? There's lots of questions that we can ask about care. And I want to answer these questions over the next couple of weeks, but today particularly by having a look at God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and what we can learn about who God is, and so therefore who we need to be. So we're going to have a look first of all at Psalm 103. So make sure you've got your Bibles open. If you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the pews, and you can grab one of those, and I think it was page 909 for this passage today for Psalm 103. And I love Psalm 103 because it's a great chapter of the Bible that tells us about the love and compassion of God for us. Have a look at verses 2 to 5. Praise the Lord, O my soul, David says. Forget not all his benefits. He forgives all your sins. He heals all your diseases. He redeems your life from the pit. He crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Can you relate to those verses? God's so good to us, isn't he? God is so good to us. In fact, he's so good that often we just forget. And we forget to thank him and praise him for the ways he's been good to us. We should keep a diary or a journal or something and continually note in the times all the time God has done something good for us. And I think you'd be surprised at that. God's people have always known how much God cares for them. And David helps us in this way by writing this psalm. Time and time again, God proves that he is faithful to us, even though we have been faithless to him. God proves that he is faithful to us. Look at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Even though we can be so faithless in our relationship to God, God remains faithful to us. He is compassionate and gracious. He loves us far beyond what we deserve. And for the Israelites who read this for the first time as David wrote these words, the Israelites who read it, would have seen the huge contrast between this loving, compassionate, caring God and the false gods of the people around them. It would have been a stark contrast. They would have seen gods who, you know, these other gods around them, people couldn't expect to receive a blessing from their idols unless they went through all these ceremonious rituals and unless they offered exactly the right sacrifices. And even then, they weren't guaranteed of favour from their God because they couldn't trust the compassion and the love of their God. You heard of the god Molech in the Old Testament? A great example of a completely barbarous God who used to demand the sacrifices of infants, of babies, in order to appease this false God. We see that around us today, don't we? In other religions, there is a lack of compassion and care. Think about the doctrine of karma that's so popular today. This doctrine of karma, this idea of karma, says that there is no forgiveness, that whatever you do wrong will be repaid. And there is no forgiveness. If they see someone who's suffering in one life, a paraplegic or someone like that, they would say he must have done something terrible in the past to deserve that. There is no compassion, no forgiveness. And we see the stark contrast between that kind of idea of religion, idea of a God, to the God that we know, the one true God, Yahweh, who is full of compassion and mercy. We've experienced God's great love for us, his amazing care and compassion for us. And when you've experienced that, that's a motivation for you to care for others, to show that same compassion, that same mercy and grace, that same care. The heart of the Father motivates us to care for others. So I want to say, first of all, if you're going to live a godly life, then you're going to look for opportunities to care for others. And we see this care of the Father personified in the person of Jesus, made real in the person of Jesus Christ, who is so strong on care and compassion. Flick over in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, first of all. We're going to do a bit of Bible bashing today. We'll look at a few different verses. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 36. Jesus, we've just read that it says God forgives all your sins. He heals your disease. He redeems you. He crowns you with love and compassion. And we see Jesus doing that. He forgave. He cared. He healed people. He redeemed us from the grave, full of love and compassion. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, we see the heart of the Father coming through in Jesus the Son. Verse 35, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus had the same compassion that God the Father has for his people. How does he help them? How does he help them? Flick forward a little bit to chapter 10 and verse 7. And it shows us what Jesus did. He sent out the 12 and he said to them in verse 7, as you go, preach this message, the kingdom of God is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. How does Jesus care for people? He says, go out and tell them the good news of the kingdom of God. Tell them about God's love and compassion and forgiveness. And then act. Show them in practical ways. Care for them. Heal them. Cast out the demons. And that last line, freely you have received, freely give. That's us, isn't it? We've received so freely from God. That's what grace is all about. That free gift of forgiveness. Free gift of redemption. Freely you have received. The free gift of love. Jesus says, freely, give. Go and do it. Go and practice it. Put it into practice. And he taught his disciples to follow his example. We're going to flick over now to John chapter 13 and verses 34 and 35. So a verse that a lot of you will know. It's maybe one that some of you have memorized as a memory verse. But John 13, verse 34, Jesus says this, a new command I give to you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So Jesus is saying, follow my example. As I've loved you, go and love one another. What's the example? What's the example? Just read back in that chapter. Let your eyes go back in that chapter. And you'll see that it was a time when Jesus got down from the meal, took off his outer robe, put on the towel of a servant, and served his disciples by washing their feet. Became lower than the lowest in order to serve the others around him. He says, follow my example. What is he about to do? He's just about to go to the cross. To die in our place, to die for our sins. We don't deserve that. Jesus says, follow my example. And then after he washes his disciples' feet, he says, now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you this example that you should do as I have done for you. See, if your teacher does it, you want to do it too, don't you? If your teacher's done it for you, then you can do it for each other. But if your Lord has done it for you, then you must do it for one another. How can you say Jesus is Lord and not care for others, not serve others, not love others as Jesus loves? The implication is clear. We need to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say this. If you're going to live a Christ-like life, then you're going to be looking for opportunities to care for others. If you're going to live a Christ-like life, you need to be looking for opportunities to care for others. Now, last verse is from Galatians chapter 5, and you might flick over to that, because there we'll see that caring for one another is a result of God's Spirit working in us. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22 tells us about that. Again, another verse, I'm using all the well-known verses today, verses that you may have had as memory verses in the past. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Look at how many things in that list are focused on others. Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. See, if God's Spirit is at work in you, then you'll be caring for others around you like God does, like Jesus did. If you're going to live a Spirit-filled life, then you'll be looking for opportunities to care for others around you. So why is pastoral care so important for us as a church? We emphasize it. We make a big deal of it because it's the heart of the Father. It's the example of the Son, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. I started with a negative example, and I want to finish with a positive one of a lady who was in our church in Canberra. For every uncaring person I've met in churches, I could tell you 20, 30 stories of ones who really care. And Judy was one such person. She always had a great concern for other people, how they were going. She knew if she asked you how you were going, she didn't just want a pat answer. She was really interested in how you were. And she would listen. You could tell. She was a great person to talk to. If she said she would pray for you, then she would. She would love to open up her house to all sorts of church events, to social events, to youth group sleepovers, all sorts of ways that she could serve the church by doing that. She had four teenage kids that she homeschooled, so she wasn't a woman who had a lot of time, but she would make every bit of spare time that she had available to be used to care for other people and to serve other people. She was a lady who you would say was full of godliness, was Christ-like, showed the fruit of the Spirit. That's what we've been called to, isn't it? We've been called to a godly life, to be Christ-like, to show the fruit of the Spirit. The aim in this church is to develop the pastoral care, to make sure that we're all doing it. We're all doing this job of pastoral care, that we're looking after each other, to make sure that no one is uncared for in this church. Even, as said at the start, even the hard people to care for. We need to make sure we're looking after them. We need to obey Jesus when he said that we need to follow his example in serving others. So what about you? Are you in on this challenge? Are you in on this challenge? Because I want to say, beware of this. Beware of being a Christian who just turns up on Sunday to get a shot of religion in the arm. That's not what Christianity is about. It's not what Christianity is about. It's about being godly people, about being Christ-like people, about growing in the fruit of the Spirit, about being other person-centered. I would rate this church fairly high on pastoral care. Now, that's a good thing, but it's a danger too, because it means we can often sit back and say, oh yeah, things are going really well, and I'll let someone else do that this week. I'll become complacent about the care that I show to others. It is not something we can rest on our laurels with. Think about the couple of challenges we've had over the last couple of years. Remember, 2 years ago we had the hospitality challenge, to invite people around to share meals, to share afternoon tea with people, to mix with people. How'd you go at that? How are you still going at that? We had last year our Find Our Church Family Challenge, where you're encouraged to go out to the other congregations and to mix and to build relationships with other people in different parts of our church family. How did you go with that? How are you still going with that? We cannot get complacent about this. The idea with those challenges was to kickstart people into thinking about how we can build relationships within our church, how we can grow together as a church family. At the end of last year, we put out the challenge for people to be involved in visiting in the aged care home and in Jesse Hunt. And a lot of people put down their names for that. It's a great opportunity to show care in a practical way. It's not possible for everyone to do it, but it's great that a lot of people have done that. But this year, the rubber hits the road. It's easy to put your name down on a bit of paper, isn't it? This year, we've got to get down and do it. How are you going to go with that? Have you thought about joining a Bible study? There is no better part of the church to be in than a Bible study if you want to grow in your relationships with other people and if you want to be able to care for other people at a deeper level. Are you going to join a Bible study group this year? Because there's a huge challenge in God's Word, isn't there? A challenge from God. This is not the vicar's challenge. This is a challenge from God Himself. You need to live a godly life. It's a call to being a Christ-like person. It's a showing the fruit of the Spirit in your life. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You so much that You are a God who is full of compassion and mercy and full of love for us, even though we don't deserve it, even though we've failed to live like You and to live out to live out Your ways in our life. We failed to live like Jesus and we failed to show the fruit of the Spirit. But Lord, You're working in us and You're helping us to become more like the sort of people that You want us to be. Father, please help us as we think about this challenge of pastoral care. How are we going to care for each other in our church family? Please help us to be motivated by what we see in You. It's Your heart. It's Your example. And it's the fruit of a relationship with You that we can love and care and show compassion to others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.